Let's begin, Bez Hashem, the idea from Perek Dalid, I will say. Perek Dalid, Mishnah Aleph. Ben Zoma Omer, Ezel Chacham, Halamed Mikolodim, Shanem Mikom Lamada Hiskalte, Ezel Gibor, Akovish Sitra, Shanem Atov Arach Apai Migibor, Umosho Berucho Miloche. Locate here. Ezo Osher, Asamel Pachalko, Shanama Yigia Kapach Gisachel, Ashracha Vatavloch, Ashracha Bolam Hazar, Vatavloch Lolam Haba. Ezo Machubot, Hamachabed Sabir, Shanama Kimachabedaya Chabed, Uvoza Yekolo. So we understand that Ben Zoma says that Gvura should be understood, not in a physical sense, but Gvura should be understood in a moral sense, in a spiritual sense. The person who is not controlled by desires, urges, instincts which are pointing in the wrong direction, but on the contrary, he controls and channels his desires, his urges, his emotions, etc. Understand that. Similarly, Ashirus is not measured in terms of dollars and cents, but in terms of contentment and satisfaction. But how do you understand the first case of Ezel Chochem Halomed Mikol Adam? So what will be, you'll go online, you'll search every Maggid Shir online, listen to 5 minutes from every Maggid Shir online, so that will catapult a person into the august company of Chachamim. Thereby, he's going to be a chacham. How can you define the chacham without stating the most obvious that it refers to a mastery of a certain body of knowledge? And again, that's obvious kishala atzmo. The Rambam here just gives us a marimokom, right? The Rambam says for his kanun yana b'prakim shehukdemu, meaning the prakim shehukdemu to the parish and avos, i.e. shmona prakim. So in the new parish of Mishnayos from Machon Hamor, so they both give you the exact marimokom, and then in the notes they even save you from turning the pages. Kasev Rabbeinu Shom in shmona prakim. V'hinei chacham who kol el kol amaylas ha-hegyonios b'li safek. A chacham is someone who, in addition to mastery, all intellectual qualities, all intellectual virtues are present within him. He has cultivated . So how can Ben Zoma say, Ezel Chacham Alomin Kolodam? Maybe that's taka a quality which a Chacham has, but the Lashon Ezel Chacham sounds like we're not just listing a quality that the Chacham has, we're giving some kind of definition. So Yitachin that the Pshat is, and then what's more, how does the Pasuk serve as a proof text for this? It's true that David HaMelech says, you know, the Pasuk seems to say, I learned from all my Rebbeim. My P1A Rebbe was very good. David HaMelech, he went to a good cheder. Yishai clearly had a triassayin for chador. He sent David HaMelech to a good cheder. So David HaMelech says, I learned from my P1A Rebbe and my first grade Rebbe and my second grade went Baruch Hashem mitchilo at sof until my Rosh Kollel. He says everyone was Nekom Alanda Eskalte. Okay, so that's very nice. We should try to find out what schools David HaMelech went to. But how does that prove the definition of Ezeu Chacham, Halamed Mikol Odom? So Yitachen, that the pshat in the pasuk in Kol Lamdei Haskalti is not a just sort of a narrative of I. The translation is not I, David HaMelech, learned from all of my teachers, but rather that the Haskalti should be understood as, again, remember in current usage, so maskil obviously has a very, very negative connotation and association. In earlier points, both in Tanakh and then later in Rabbinic Hebrew, so maskil has a positive connotation. A maskil is a maskil who's dorish es elokim. A maskil is someone who looks for the pnimius hadavar. So just we should remember not to anachronistically transpose our negative association. Each of the pasuk is I became a maskil, right, which is a high darga of chacham. I became a maskil how from kol melamdai. It was only because of Kol Melamdai that I became the Chocham, that I achieved that pinnacle. Or in other words, what Ben Zoma is telling us is Ben Zoma is not giving us a definition of the result. He's giving a Zel Chocham. For a person to become the biggest, to become a big chacham objectively, b the biggest chacham that he can become relatively, on a relative scale. The first is on an absolute scale. The second is on a relative scale. To become a chacham on an absolute scale, b to become the biggest chacham that he is capable of becoming on a relative scale. He has to be a lomed mikol odom. As much as he'll learn from one Rebbe, another Rebbe, one chavrusa, another chavrusa, if he wants to become a big, big chacham on an absolute scale, on a relative scale, the biggest chacham that he's capable of becoming, he has to learn at every opportunity from, and that means from every person. And then the proof from the pasuk is, because the pshat in the pasuk of Mikom Lamdai Haskalti, the translation is not I learned from all my teachers. I became a maskil. Again, maskil in the sense of in the sense of a high level chacham, mikol melamdai. That's the root. R-O-U. That's the path to becoming a chacham. Is the mikol melamdai his kalte? Well, hashana simul hachi. So now we need to rethink and reprocess the next examples in the Mishnah as well. So according to this, when Ben Zoma tells us Eizehu Gibur Hakovish is Yitzro, he's not simply telling us what the definition or description of a person who is already a Gibur, but he's also telling us how that gevura is attained. It's not just that it's the definition and the simin muvok of the gibor, that being a gibor, that being the gibor that he is, that is kovish is yitzro, but it's rather the pshat is, how did he become the gibor? By time and time again being kovish is yitzro. Important yesod here, I will say. Most occasions of a Yetzer Hara, and I'm talking about a Yetzer Hara from Machol Sasus, what can you say about that? Now, let's say a Yetzer Hara for something which has kosher supervision, a good, reliable kosher supervision. And again, obviously, we're using the realm of achila as representative of the Yetzer Hara's full spectrum of desires and potential activities. Almost every individual instance can cogently, you can make a cogent explanation for why it's okay to indulge the Yetzer. You can make it cogent, maybe with very, very narrow tunnel vision. Maybe you can even make a compelling explanation for why it doesn't make a difference. If the doctor puts someone on a diet, one scoop of ice cream is really going to make or break the diet? No, absolutely not. Maybe it means that the goal of the diet will be attained half a day later. It doesn't. It doesn't make a difference. And yet, what Ben Zoma is telling us is, Ezel Giva Kovish is Yitzro, the way the person, again, he's not just describing who the Gavra of the Gibor is, once he's already attained that level. But just as we understood, he's talking about what the path is, what the trail leading up the mountain is. He's saying a Kovish Yitzro is each time, I'm not talking about Shabbos Yom Tov, but obviously, we're not talking about Kol HaTorah Kula, but when decisions need to be made, then all these Kol HaTorah Kula perspectives need to be brought to bear to have the correct balance. What it means is that each time he's Kovish is Yitzro. We, Anota, understandably, but often wrongly, to think of life in terms of, I don't know, decades, if not decades, in terms of years. The emes is that really life is comprised of seconds. What a person accomplishes in a year is a function of what he accomplished in a year's worth of seconds, because a person lives second by second. A person doesn't live a year at a time. You can't live a year at a time. Right? All the great baseball philosophers, after they strike out four times and make five errors and lose 18-1, so they all come back and say, well, got to take it one day at a time, got to forget about this game, look at the next game. So leaving the Struss context aside, but Lamaisa, it is true. It is true. A person doesn't live a year at a time. Right now, we're living a second. That's all you can live at a time. And that therefore means that even though it's understandable and even natural to say, again, so is the one scoop of ice cream going to make or break my diet? The answer is no. But the way I stick to my diet is second by second. And therefore, I need to stick to it this second. And again, that's reinforced by the fact that you can be mechazek that argument by recognizing that, because next second, I can make the same argument about the second scoop, and I can make the same argument tomorrow about the scoop. Shalol hatil kinna between vanilla ice cream and chocolate ice cream. I had my vanilla ice cream today, so shalol hatil kinna, so I need to have my chocolate ice cream tomorrow. You can make the same argument the same way. You can make the argument is cogent today, the argument is equally cogent tomorrow, and the day after, which only really reveals that it never was cogent in the first place. Ultimately, and really, again, a person lives in micro units. We don't live in macro units. A person doesn't live a year at a time. He lives a second at a time. That's what a person lives. And therefore, I can't rationalize away that what I do this second is insignificant. It pales. Because that's always the unit. That's always the unit of life. And it's a very, very big mistake that we make when we don't recognize. Again, obviously, there is a time that a person is also supposed to think in terms of macro, on a macro scale. But Lamaisa, it's crucial to think in terms of the micro scale. It's halacha lemaisa. It's always halacha lemaisa in life. It's certainly very much halacha lemaisa during this pandemic, Rahman al-Islam. A person can make a pretty cogent explanation and argument for every instance of not taking safety precautions. What are the odds that my going gratuitously into the store or wherever, it doesn't have to be a store, it can be Lahavdil, it can be a shul. What are the odds, Rahman al-Islam, that the person is gonna get the virus? You can make a very cogent argument, but you can make that cogent argument at every second, and the way a person is nizer is from second to second. Now, again, just as in the previous discussion, there are other considerations which need to be taken into account halacha lemaisa, which create the right balance. We're not reviewing all that now, but yes, of course, that exists. But to eat a balanced diet, so again, it doesn't mean that in every forkful, a person has a fruit and a vegetable and a protein and a starch and a v'chulu v'chulu. So the same thing in Talmud Torah. You can't talk about every consideration at once. But the Maisa, so we're talking about this, not that it's the only consideration, but it's a major, 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 major consideration. The way a person is nizer is from second to second. It's not that a person in general, there's no such thing as in general. In general, how I lived Tov Shin Pei was the sum of how I lived every second of Tov Shin Pei. That's it. If you would depict it in a mathematical equation, how I lived the year Tovshin Pei was the sum of the moments of Tovshin Pei, because a person lives moment to moment. A person doesn't, I can't live. I can put a whole kazayas into my mouth at once, but I can't live a whole year at once. It just doesn't happen. A person can only live a second at a time, which means when there's an avoda to do, again, obviously there is a macro level. Obviously, you know, I have to think about the 24-hour unit in terms of how much sleep I need and how much rest I need. And obviously that there is a time and a context when a person has to look at macro units as well. But all that notwithstanding, l'maisa, the way a person lives a bunch of, the same way a person's body is made up of tiny atoms. There may be enough atoms that he adds up to Og Melech HaBoshon. But l'maisa, the building blocks are tiny. A minuscule, and the same thing is here. So a person can rationalize, and if a person just sort of has this tunnel vision and isolates, so what are the chances that this one thing that I'm doing is going to make a difference? I know, come on, a person can make it very compelling. But then there's no such thing as being nizer. There's no such thing as being nizer. There's no such thing as dieting, if I need to diet, because this one spoonful really makes a difference? No, but the only way you do anything in life is from second to second. So a person can't be dismissive of what does this second represent. The same way a person can't be dismissive of what is this, if this as a repeated exposure is not prudent, is not consistent with the Nishmat Mod Nafsho Seichem, so then on a one-time scale, it's not consistent with the Nishmat Mod Nafsho Seichem either, unless there's compelling reason to distinguish this one time, unless there's something different about this one time. But the fact just that it's one time, that's not a basis. And that's why you see that there's one common denominator, I think. You know, Gedolim are individuals, but there is one common denominator, maybe more than one common denominator, but in Yoneinu, one common denominator that's especially relevant, which is consistency. Because l'maisa, consistency is this yesod that if you climb Mount Everest, you get to the peak by putting one foot in front of the other. Or if you're scaling a steep thing by putting one hand over the other in terms of the rope. In life, that's the way a person moves. That's the way a person progresses. The Gemara in Sukkah says, I think it's Gemara in Sukkah, that the Yetzer Hara is nidme to tzaddikim as a hor gadol, so a mountain. And for Rishon, the Yetzer Hara is nidme like a little anthill. So l'chor it should be just the opposite, no? The Rasha who's unable to cope with his Yetzer Hara, for him, the Yetzer Hara was like climbing Mount Everest. Who's got koiches to climb Mount Everest? The tzaddik who successfully copes with and confronts the Eitzar, for him, it wasn't Mount Everest. It was a little bump in the sidewalk. It's not so hard to navigate a bump in the sidewalk. And yet Chazal depicted the exact opposite. So I think one of the Balei Musa explains that what it means is the following. When confronted with the Yetzer Hara, So the Rosh says it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. If I come, if I begin Seder at 9 as opposed to 9 o'clock, that's going to make the difference between my knowing Maseches Pesachim and not knowing Maseches Pesachim. No, if I skip a whole 2 weeks of Seder, okay, yeah, that's taka going to have an impact. But the difference between 9:01 and 9, no. So I'll come 9:01. So echt gut. With that mindset taken to an extreme, if I have that mindset day in, day out, hour in, hour out, minute in, minute out, second in, second out, so then lemaisa, a person can end up, you know, reductio ad absurdum, a person can end up a Russia with that approach, with that mentality. The tzaddik experiences any encounter he had as though he's encountering, as this is a major defining moment. What do you mean it's a major defining moment? Whether you get the best message at 9:01 or 9 o'clock is a major defining moment? It is. And if he thinks of it that way, so then every moment he lives and the person's life is just the sum of the seconds of 70 years, of 80 years, of however many years that HaKadosh Baruch Hu blesses him with. Ezeu oshim ha-sameach b'chalka, sh'nema yegia kapecha kisocha ha-shvecha v'tozlach. So ashrecha, you'll be fortunate. A person who's fortunate is happy. He's content. What exactly is he happy with? Yegia kapecha. He schwitzed. He worked really hard. And what does he have to show for this? Maybe a mansion? Not a mansion. Such a nice house, but a fancy car. A nice vacation home? No, yegia kapecha. And what do you have to show for it? Kisochel. And then you'll be able to put bread on the table. And ashracha. That's enough that you should feel fortunate. Here again in the Machon HaMo'or edition, so again, quoting from that same passage in France. So the Rambam said about Ezeu Osher Sameach B'Chalko, Kol Ma Shehu Mistapek, he's content, B'Mesh Shehimtzi Lo Hazman, Ve'Eino Mitzta'er Al Ma Shelo Himtzi Lo. He's content with what the Zman, with what time has provided him, and he is not upset by what time has not given him. Interesting figure of speech, right? Ma shehimtzi lo hazman. That what a person is getting is what zman. We would, and in English, the idiom would be what life gives a person. But the Rambam's idiom, the Rambam's figure of speech, is ma shehimtzi lo hazman. What is that? What does that phrase mean? Well, what does that phrase mean, Himsilo Zman? So what that means is as follows. What Zman represents is transience, impermanence, that which is not lasting, that which is ephemeral. That's what Zman represents, right? Because you can't freeze time. And if you have a video, so you can freeze the video, but you can't do that in life. And a person can't say, oh, you know, at age 28, this is a gewaltige age to be, I'm going to freeze it. No, it doesn't work that way. Right? Time is cholef v'over. Time can't offer a person anything which is more enduring than itself. So by using that figure of speech about Meshe Himtzi Lo Hazman, it's such a beautiful and powerful expression. The reason the person isn't mitzta'er, the reason the person shouldn't be mitzta'er, is because the more or less is more or less of something which is ephemeral anyway. So ma kol harash hazeh, whether a person lives in a fancy house, whether he lives in a more modest domicile, there's nothing lasting about that difference. In terms of the nitzchius, there's nothing lasting. It doesn't translate into what a person's nitzchius is going to be. Whether he wears designer suits, or otherwise. That's what the phrase by Meshe Himtzi Lo Hazman. And maybe all of this is compressed into the Mishnah here. In Ashrecha v'tov lach, Ashrecha b'olam hazeh v'tov lach olam haba, that it's the olam haba perspective which allows the person to have the ashrecha in olam hazeh. You hear that, Rabbi Yossi? It's the awareness that the ultimate tov lach is an olam haba, which is the basis for the ashrecha perspective of Ayzeh Osha Sameach B'chalko in olam hazeh. I don't know if there's only olam hazeh and there isn't only olam haba. Okay, so I guess the way to measure life is how much olam hazeh you can get out of olam hazeh. So then that makes all the difference in the world whether the person lives in the mansion and he's waited on hand and foot, or whether the person lives in a modest house. The chayim nitzriyim of olam haba. So then, that difference in domicile becomes inconsequential and irrelevant. So it's because of the tov lach perspective olam haba that a person is able to have the ashrecha of olam hazeh. So here, there seems to be a gap between the Ben Zoma statement and the pasuk. Ben Zoma's statement is that who's mechubad, who's a dignified person, upon whom dignity and respect are conferred, a person who's mechabed es habriyos. But the pasuk mechabde achabed, right? When you look up that pasuk in context, via the Navi, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ki mechabdai achabed, right, in sending the Nevuah to Eli about how he's being punished for the actions of his sons, how there's not going to be a continuity to the base Eli. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ki mechabdai achabed, those who are mechabed me, I will be mechabed, and your sons are not doing that. Uvazai yekalu. So how does that prove that Ezo mechubar and mechabed is obvious? It's mimidas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It seems a tad overly optimistic to think that the mitzvah of halachta b'drachim notwithstanding, that all the brios are operating by that principle, and that therefore they too will be mechabed those who are mechabed them. So the way to close the gap the Rav once commented in a drasha. Why is it, again, we have an instinct for this, so we never really ask ourselves the question, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us an instinct for this. But why is it a terrible, terrible avla to attack a person? Why is it a heinous crime to kill a person? Or to ask the same question differently, right? We all have an instinct, other than those people who go around protesting experiments on mice and therefore plant bombs and kill people who are doing experiments on mice because of their moral sensitivity for mice. But leaving those moralists to the side. So we all have an instinct that there's a difference between, I don't know, eating fish, chicken, and meat on the one hand, and Rahman al Islam killing a person on the other hand. So why is that? Why is there a difference? So the Rav said in Adrasha, it's a possible that the reason it's so repugnant, reprehensible to attack another person. Halachas kama v'kama, a brother, a Jew. And the reason it's so heinous to kill someone is because of the tzelem elokim. Lest that appear to be too big of a chiddush, it's a pasuk in Chumash, as the Rebbe pointed out. In Parshas Noach, shofech dam ha'odam, ba'odam dam yishofech. The punishment for murder is capital, capital punishment. Why? Why? Because it's terrible for society. Because why? Keep it selim al gim. That's how the Torah explains it. The yisod of ben adam lachaveru, whether it's interpersonal within the Jewish family, whether it's interpersonal within humanity, begins with Salam Elokim. Again, interpersonal within the Jewish family is then builds on the Salam Elokim, Bonam Atam Lashem Elokechem, Achene B'nai Yisrael v'chul. But the Yisod is Salam Elokim. Pashto says that this is the basis for Kovad Abrius. The reason people have to treat each other, again, this is universal. This is, we're talking about humanity now. Have to treat each other with basic dignity, kavod avias, is because of tzelem elokim. Kumtois, that when a person is mechabed as avias, he's really being mechabed at Kadosh Baruch Hu. When a person's mechabed as avias, he's really being mechaber HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshel ma'ado v'adome. If a head of state sends one of his cabinet ministers and that cabinet minister or sends one of his ambassadors, the respect shown to that minister, to that ambassador, is really respect that's being paid to the head of state. So kumt ois, that a mechaber es avias, is really being mechaber Kadosh Baruch Hu. Mechal hen atashem elav as well. So memeila, now that the mission is very good, eizel l'chubar a mechaber es avias, we said there's a gap here. Well, there seems to be a gap here between what the Mishnah is saying, what Ben Zom is saying, and the Pasuk. Ben Zom is talking about if a person is mechavid people, he'll be mechubad. The Pasuk says if you're mechavid a Kadosh Baruch Hu, he'll be mechavid you. Well, but according to what we just discussed, so there is no gap, right? That gap turns out to have been an optical illusion. There is no gap here. Because a person who's being mechabit es abiyos is being mechabit es HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Is that because it's the Tzelem Elokim, which is the mechayev to be mechabit es abiyos. So memele, he's being mechabit es Baruch Hu, so he'll be mechubad. Ki mechab da achabed, uvozayeh kolo. Okay, well, we'll stop here. But Blinan Mitzvah Hashem, again, next Thursday, so the Limud will continue here in Perek Daled with Mishnah Beis. Okay, everyone should have a good, productive day, days in Mitzvah Hashem, till we reconvene, Mitzvah Hashem, Blinan, and be well, be safe.